Okay, everybody, welcome on back here to Simple Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We do not change the Bible. Brother Carlos here. Hope you guys are having a good week. It sure was good to see some of you back at church. I haven't seen in a minute. And let's continue here where we left off from our Friday night discipleship class ago. Okay, guys, friendly reminder, if y'all don't mind, just look up to the screen. We sure appreciate that. We just want to quickly go over our announcements as we do every service to just let you know what we're doing tomorrow or in the future, if you will. So guys, friendly reminder, tomorrow, calendar tab. Let's get it together. You already know who you are. We will be calling you in the morning, amen. I ain't going to point any fingers around here, but hopefully some of y'all will be wanting to go with us tomorrow, amen. So soul winning evangelism. Remember, guys, that when Jesus told his disciples to go into the world and preach the gospel, that's for all Christians. It doesn't matter what church they go to. If they're born again, all of us have a responsibility and duty to go do something to tell someone else about Jesus. Some of you might say, well, Brother Carlos, I'm young. I'm not an adult yet. You can do something too, because a lot of the early church, they were made up of young people and old people together. And so just remember, tomorrow, every Saturday, your church, we get together at 10 o'clock in the morning. We pray, have coffee, have some bagels. If we get them, amen, we get some bars for y'all. And then we just get some scripture to encourage our hearts with the Lord and get our door hangers, and we go out. So what we're going to keep doing is finishing up the apartment complexes off Canyon. So we are going to pick up where we left off from last Saturday with my wife and I, Canyon Club Apartments, just right here. And it'll probably take up the a time that we usually do door knocking. So once we're done there, we'll take a break, come back here, and then go downtown for another hour and a half and then call it a day around 2 o'clock. So if you can join us, please join us. We sure appreciate that. Also, if you're unable to join us, and I do think for some of you who say, hey, I'm not going today, that's totally cool. We respect you. Just let us know. Don't be shy. Just like you call your boss, I'm not going in, feeling quote-unquote sick. Just say, Brother Carlos or Katie, sorry, I'm not going today. At least you're just communicating, if you will, with your leadership at the church, so that way we're not waiting for 30 minutes in hopes to anticipate you guys coming. And so that's all. So just if you guys just let us know, hey, we will be going, that'll be great. Or hey, we're not going, that'll also be appreciated. And we'll thank you ahead of time for that. But if you can go, please go. You guys are more than able. If you're not working tomorrow, if you're not in school, guys, let's start serving Jesus and start getting used to what God is wanting for you to do for the rest of your life in serving him, which is just go with your church to go tell somebody about Jesus. Some of you say, I feel more comfortable doing the door, and that's fine. And then we'll drop you off back at home afterwards. That's totally cool. Some of you say, hey, I want to just go do the public outreach. That's cool too. You're just called to do something. And so I just want to encourage you guys, just keep praying it through and ask the Lord to help you. If any of you guys still have heebie-jeebies, amen. If you also have heebie-jeebies, just ask the Lord to help you with that, amen. The butterflies, I know, we're all there. But let's go together and keep serving as a family. Sure to appreciate you. And then we'll come back here for church on the 11th, this Sunday. If anybody wants to go with us, we might go on a special trip back up to Corona to go visit our friends. If you want to go meet some new friends or reconnect with old friends that came to our church and visited when Pastor Scott came and ministered, we have friends visiting from Texas that we want to fellowship with. So if you guys want to have a good time, go with us. We sure appreciate that. And then we'll let you guys know for future announcements what we have planned for the future. Sure to appreciate that. Okay, guys, study blogs. Don't forget, these are just articles to help you in your faith and your Christian walk with the Lord. These are great topics. If you want me to make an article about a topic that you are interested in, just text me or call me or let me know at church. Hey, Pastor, can you help me out with this? I'll do my studies for you, post it on there, and then say, hey, here you go. Here's an answer that can not only help you, but help someone else out there maybe like you. Need prayer? Submit those prayer requests right there, okay? We want to be a family that prays together, amen? Live stream, you guys already know, YouTube, Facebook, and podcasts. And then last but not least, church, you guys already know, you can give of your finances anytime between you and God. It's just between you and the Lord. There's a little box back there. You can give online. You can give in-house. Just remain faithful to what the Lord has given you. He's given you work. He's given you ability to live. Eyes to see, ears to hear. And so just say, Lord, here's my financial thank you for your church. And I thank you for this church. This is where my home church is, my pastor. I want to support this ministry. So y'all already know, just take care of that between you, God, and we sure appreciate that. Amen. All right, guys. Also, don't forget to pray for our visitors. That was really cool. We had two visitors come last Thursday. Wednesday from our Thursday soul winning sunset outreach. And that was cool. A young couple, it seems to me. So keep Andy in prayer. I forgot the girl's name. Do any of you guys remember the girl's name, ladies, by chance? I think her name was Esperanza. I think that's what it was. It was something like that, maybe. Okay. Well, God knows. Just keep in prayer. Guys, that's awesome. Let's rejoice together that we had some fish. Amen. So remember, guys, whenever visitors come, try your best to go out of your way. Try to get out of your comfort zone talking with family or friends or people that you're just already used to. Step out of that bubble and say, hi, I want to get to know you. Welcome to church. Don't forget, one of you guys can just get a visitor card and then give it to those people. And that's how we can all continue to be a help to our church, to always make visitors feel welcome. And I sure appreciate your help. All right, guys, with that said, let's get right into our study tonight. And then we will finish a little early at 8 o'clock. And I appreciate you guys being here tonight. Let's continue with where we left off in our Friday night study and going through the big book. So if you have that study book, I'd encourage you to open it with me, and we are going to be on page 631. If you don't have a study book, like my friend Diego or Gibby, literally right in front of you guys in the first pew, the book is right there. So you guys have a copy. If you guys want to physically open it up, it's right in the front of you. You just got to kind of reach over, and it's this book right here, Diego, so you can get it. It's right there in front of you in the front, right there. Not in the back, in the front. There you go. There. And so just there you go right there. Pick that book up, my friend, and boom, page 631. You guys know the Bible is obviously the most important, but study guides, these are always great helps to help us to process the information that we are all reading together in the Bible. And so that's what we're going to continue to do. So let's open up with prayer, and then we'll get started. Abba, Father, I thank you so much for allowing us to gather once again in the name of Jesus. I thank you for Friday night discipleship class, where we get to come together to church, to ask questions, to learn together as a family. Lord, I pray that you would see that our heart's desire is to learn the Bible so we could be a help to our church or a help to other Christians with knowledge, with information that we gain, so we could help Christians to trust the Bible. We can help Christians who are struggling in their understanding of certain things that the Bible teaches. And so help us to have a heart that is ready to receive with a good heart and an honest heart, and so we can be a blessing, God. We don't want to get information to condemn. We don't want to get information to divide people who don't agree with us. No, we want to use it to help people. So, Lord, would you help us to do that? And I'll thank you ahead of time for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, friends, let's go back here, 631. The question that we are starting with here today, friend, is what is bondage? What is bondage? We've been talking about this way that people interpret the Bible, and we talk about this term called methodology. Methodology. You say, well, Brother Carlos, a little too much. What does that mean, methodology? It just means the system or the way that you interpret something. So what is your methodology today? What is your formula? What is your equation that you apply to a problem in order to solve it? If I were to take Diego and Gibby back to school and give them a little graph, y equals mx plus b, and I want to ask Diego or Gibby, hey, I need you to find out where this coordinate is on the graph, you guys will be able to think and problem solve from what you've been instructed. And you'll say, you know what, I'm going to apply this. Tell me, problem solve this from what this teacher taught me. And then that's your formula. That's your whatever you call it. When we think about this methodology, what is what we're going to apply to our system of interpretation? We are applying a term called dispensationalism, but that's a very general term. What does that mean? It means that not everybody believes the same way about how to apply that term to problem solve. And so I want you to think about my analogy. When we talk about problem solving, that's the Bible. And so think about the Bible as a big problem in a good way. And what I mean by that is we're trying to figure out what this might mean here, what that might mean there. When God said something over here a long time ago, do I have to do the same thing? How do we apply these different verses, and who are the Israelites, and who are these Gentiles? And so this term has been created by men, and then they've plugged in over the years little bits of information, little ways of applying these formulas to help Christians study their Bible to be a blessing, to be a help. So that is the methodology that we use, but we use it in a unique way. We use it in a peculiar way, and that's what makes us who we are here at Symbol Faith Baptist. So when you begin to study that, a lot of other Baptist churches, some of them do and some of them don't, incorporate what we use, if you will, that approach, using that formula. And that's okay. Just because they might not approach the formula the same way we will, it doesn't mean that they're heretics. It doesn't mean that they're in error. It just means that they disagree with you, and that's totally fine. It's not a make it or break it. because the ultimate means of heresy, or something that you really need to be careful about, is when Christians begin to say that Jesus is not God and that salvation is not by grace or faith in his finished work. That's the number one heresy that you have to look out for. So when we start talking about, well, what does a brother teach about the law, the nation of Israel? What about works here? What about the future? Guys, that's fine if we differ, because if the Bible doesn't give us enough what we call light or detail, it's okay to have differing opinions or differing perspectives on the formula. So when we talk about this term dispensationalism and how we apply it here at this church, that's why we are independent Baptist churches, if you will, because every church assembly is independent from one another. All churches have the liberties and freedoms to govern themselves, if you will, underneath the leadership, if you will. And so it doesn't mean that all Baptist churches are required to have the same thing, the same way, looking at everything. No, that's the beauty of the body of Christ. We all have these liberties in these areas. So as you guys know, you've heard me say it before, if I'm your pastor, we have charity here, and we're not going to name call other Christians just because they don't interpret certain things like us. And you have heard people online who critique others. I've heard them online. And as I've told you before, I'm not going to name them behind the pulpit for charity's sake. If you ask me privately, I'll let you know. But I'm just telling you, when they begin to name call other Christians and bash them and belittle them because they don't interpret it like us, we're the right way, we're the only way. Guys, now they're in error without knowing it. And so I just want to let you know, be careful, be balanced when you're entertaining yourself with interpretations and methods of interpretation. Look at the whole Bible. Do your due diligence. As I told you, in love, as your friend, don't do the lazy study. Don't just have a commentary Bible and read a passage and say, well, this is what it means. Why? Because this guy says it right here. No, you're being lazy. You take the time to study that verse or study that word. It's going to take you probably weeks. It might take you months. It might take you years. But when you get to the end of the study, you're going to have confidence. Why? Because you know what that means. You put in the effort to be convinced from your own conviction because you put in the effort to study. That's what I've done, and that's reflective in our statement of faith at this church. As I told you, look at it anytime. When you go to a church, they might have something like this. They may not. I don't know. But generally, a lot of churches have something called statements of faith, and all we're trying to say is when they're looking up our product, they want to look at the ingredients. Are you with me? They want to know what's in this bottle, what's in this food, if you will. They want to know, what is this made of? So when you look at a statement of faith, this is just telling the one who's wanting to find out more, this is the ingredients at this church. This is what they believe in. This is why. And it helps somebody to understand if this is what they're looking for, if they're like-minded, if you will. And if they're not, then now they know. A lot of churches are ashamed to not teach that we believe in the King James Bible. There are a lot of quote-unquote Baptist churches who will not put on their statement of faith for the public to know that they use the King James Bible as their doctrinal basis for authority. I don't know why they're ashamed. They kind of secretly introduce it after they get a visitor, and then once they get a visitor to commit, then they tell them, oh yeah, we're King James only, blah, blah, blah. At this church, we're not ashamed. It's right there. We let them know we believe the King James Bible. However, what do we say? Look at the disclaimer. We're not hyper King James only to say that salvation can only be communicated through this translation, because for, what is it, almost 1,500 years from the day that the church started in Acts chapter number 2 and onward, if you will, there was no King James Bible. You had the Word of God being preached from the mouth of the apostles, and then it was originally penned in what language? The Greek language, and it was translated in various foreign tongues, the earliest being the Peshitta, 157 AD. And then from all those ancient languages to English, God has always preserved his word in languages. It's totally fine. The gospel has always been available. So watch out for those hyper KJV only people who say the word of God was never available before the 1611. That's incorrect. That's ignorant. We don't believe that. We believe God has always preserved his word. And we're just telling you that if you want it perfect in your tongue, that is completely purified in the English tongue, the King James Bible, that's where we believe God has preserved his word. In Spanish, I use the Reina Valera Gomez 2010. The reason why is because I've done my due diligence. I've looked at the original facsimiles of the 1569, the 1602. Guys, I've literally went verse by verse to the book of Galatians to compare, and I believe the 2010 Gomez does a good job of preserving what the King James has because I did my due diligence. So I'm just challenging you as the member, do your due diligence. Don't just swallow something because some guy behind a YouTube video says it and it sounds cool. they got cool video effects, or they're followed by hundreds of thousands of people. It doesn't matter. You can be followed by a lot of people and be wrong, and you're just going to follow the crowd. Don't do that. Just do your due diligence, pray, and I'm here to help you. You say, Brother Carlos, I heard this from some guy online. Is this true? We will look at the Bible together and see if it's so. And what I'm just going to ask you is, when you come to me, I'm just going to ask you, friend, is the Bible your final authority? And if it is, then let's come to the conclusion. And then whatever we discover or whatever we find out, let it be that. You understand? So let's keep going down here. Rightly dividing the Word of God. On our statement of faith, we're talking about here our methodology. I gave you an article to consider from our last study, and it was a threefold foundation. And that study was really good, and I'll just click on it once again. Again, this is just rehearsal. You guys saw this with me last week. You guys can access this anytime. We have all these scripture verses, some bullet points as it pertains to why. What is the three basis or the three elements of which sinners will go to heaven by? Number one, they're going to go there because God is a God of grace. He's a gracious God. He is, because of his grace, obviously the creation has an opportunity for salvation. That is that of mankind. Number two, the blood of Christ. Clearly, Hebrews, we read that last week. Brother Felipe was reading it with me. Never, you know, it's impossible, never from sacrifices or works from the law. It can never take away sins. It's only the blood of Christ that can do that. And then number three, the last thing that's required is the faith of man. It takes the free will of the sinner to respond to God and what he's offering, which is salvation, pardon for sins, and then that's what's going to allow people entrance into heaven. No man will ever make it to heaven based entirely or in part on his own works. However, there are still dispensational differences in the way man comes to God for salvation. The blood of Christ is applied at different times. Old Testament saints had to wait in paradise until Christ came to die on the cross. We believe that. We have his blood applied at the moment of salvation after the cross, this time of where we're at in history. We believe that. The faith of man has not always had the same content. Abraham believed God when he trusted the promise that he would bless his descendants. Remember that? As numerous as the stars. What are we trusting in? Well, that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again. So the content of what we believe in is true. It's different. But nevertheless, what is the basis from the heart of man? It's faith, and that's what God accepts. And then lastly, the grace of God is more apparent in this dispensation than any other. That's what we call it, the age of grace. But grace is always throughout all dispensations. Why? Because God is, in his very nature, a gracious God. So we just want to remind you guys of those things. So now, if you have your study book, we're on page 631. What is bondage? Only a Bible rejecter ignores the plain truths of Scripture. Paul made known the ordinances to be observed by the church. By the way, let's go back there. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And I think I have a good friend of mine who's going to be doing the communion supper tomorrow, and he's going to read 1 Corinthians 11. So let's rehearse them right now. Sunday. I'm already there, guys. I want church. Amen, Sister Maribel. I want church. I want to see your husband back here. Amen. Okay. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. Before you say, Brother Carlos, oh, we don't want traditions. Remember, we are Bible believers. If you see that the Christian churches were practicing certain traditions, then it's okay for you to begin to entertain, okay, then there are traditions, but now what are they? What are ordinances for which Christians are to adhere to and what they're not to adhere to? Then you need to be careful because each local church will have certain traditions that are differing from others. That's why I told you earlier, for those of you who just came in, the beauty about being independent Baptists is that we're independent from other churches. So they have the right to do it their way over there. We have the right to do it our way over here. If we want to do the Lord's Supper once a month, every Sunday, once a year, five times a year, we can do that. Likewise, they, right? So I'm just telling you, when you begin to entertain the Bible and you begin to apply it within your local practice and your traditions, just know it's okay. We're just going out to scriptures. And if the scriptures don't have a dogmatic stance, then we have a liberty on how we're going to put that into practice. I think you understand that. So now, 1 Corinthians 11, 1, the Bible says, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances as I deliver them to you. So now, I'm not going to monologue, but I told you last Friday, the general ordinances within churches are what? The Lord's Supper, communion. What is the other one? Water baptism. And then there's a third one that some churches do or don't do. It just depends on their tradition, their background. They call it the foot washing from the book of John. Now, if Brother Felipe wants to start that, Sister Maribel, he'll start with you. Amen. And then we'll move on. You might need to get some gloves for Brother Giovanni's feet, though, Felipe. Amen. But it's usually of those. So they add that. Now, does the Bible specifically say the ordinance of water baptism? The order, it doesn't specifically say that. So that's why the brethren, when I say the brethren, I'm just talking the church as a general, as a whole, they collect those practices. And it seems to be, it's a reference that, so I'm not going to get dogmatic. Again, that's why we're telling you there's liberties in these things. But then there are traditions. So let's go quickly there. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. This is just one that comes to my mind. Just quickly look up there. 2 Thessalonians 3. And allow me to just remind you of what we're discussing here. Now look with me now in verse number 4. So remember, when I ask you if you're a Bible believer, I'm not asking you if you're a Baptist. That's secondary. I'm asking you if you first believe the Bible is the Word of God. Because if we can establish that, brother, we're coming together, sister, to believe the Bible, learn the Bible, then that's going to be how we shape this. This doesn't shape the Bible. You understand? We're going to let the Bible shape how we put all this into practice. So now, from everything, right, from like family and friends and government and how do we spend our money, we need to really ask, do I believe it? So now, with that mindset, let's go. Look at verse 4. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. So some of y'all don't do the commands of God. Some of you are stiff-necked. Some of you are theatrical, stubborn. You don't want to evangelize. You don't want to give your money to the church. You don't want to submit to your pastor. There's a lot of commands that you don't do. There's commands that you do do. But I just want you to see that the apostles, when they talked to Christians thousands of years ago, you know what they said? We have confidence that you're obeying us. Isn't that wild? So that's what am I asking you? I'm not asking you if you're a Baptist. I'm asking you if you're a Bible believer. Because now when you begin to refresh your mind, oh, I know, man, yeah, that's right, that's a command. I got to love my wife as Christ of the church. As a wife, I got to submit to my husband as unto the Lord. As a single individual, I got to keep my body pure. So all those commandments, I just want you to ask yourself, am I a Bible believer? Okay, verse 5, and the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. That's what you're going to need, amen. And to the patient waiting for Christ. Now, we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us. Now, we are not there 2,000 years ago to see what was Paul talking about in real time. In other words, we have the Bible, we have the record, but it's not like we were there to see it in action, okay? We weren't there to see what was Paul physically doing to show the Thessalonians this is a tradition. So like, you know, it's okay to do this, you know, on the weekday or if you will, you know, like all those things, it's okay to do that. So we don't know how they did it. All we have is black and white. That's why every independent church is going to do it differently, okay? So the way that you can be safe is to say, go to the pastor. Hey, pastor, I read my Bible. I know that there's not a specific on this. I know that you do this traditionally or we don't do this traditionally. Can we talk about this? And I say, yeah, sure. And that way you can see we're not going to be dogmatic on things that the Bible doesn't clearly say you got, you know, there's something like this. Every other thing is what we call liberties. In other words, this is what we're just deciding to do as a church family once a month. It's totally cool for Lord's Supper. If you say, Brother Carlos, I want to do it every Sunday, amen. All right, hey, just make sure your heart's there. You know, you can. I'm just telling you. So now look at what he's saying. The tradition which he received of us. So these Christians received commandments and then what? Traditions. And what Paul is telling these believers is if you see Christians who heard the same thing, saw the same thing, learned the same thing, if they begin to do something disorderly that is outside of this, what does he say? Withdraw yourselves from that brother. So now, once again, are you a Bible believer? I'm not asking if you're a Baptist. I'm not asking if you're a type of follower of a school of thought of Baptist. In other words, I'm not asking you if you adhere to the teaching of such and such pastor, preacher name, and then Baptist. No, don't just forget all that. I'm just asking you if you're a Bible believer. Because if you are, here's a brother in Christ. Here is a sister in Christ. And they're saved by grace through faith. Come on, don't be shy. Say it. All right. Now they got eternal security. They're not going to lose it. Okay. But now all of a sudden, this brother over here begins to walk disorderly. You know that's wrong. This sister over here begins to walk disorderly. You know that's wrong. You know the Bible told you that you need to do that, and you know she told you, or he told you, you need to do that, sister. So you have two choices. Are you going to continue fellowshipping with brother disorderly or sister disorderly for the sake of pleasing, or are you going to walk with the Lord and being obedient and just say, hey, you know, I'm just going to separate myself because you're not doing that part. I'm not going to I'm not going to spend my time and my money and my efforts on laziness or whatever you're doing over here. That's not according to tradition. Now, I'm just giving you a general notice. I'm not saying what they're doing in this hypothetical. I'm just saying in that area, the Lord gave you permission to withdraw yourself, and that's okay. Now listen, verse number 7. For yourselves know how you ought to follow us. So again, he's telling them, you know. You know better. Don't be acting like, I didn't know, Brother Paul. You know, I didn't know. They know. They know exactly what Paul's talking about. They saw his countenance, if you will, everything he talked about. And okay, Brother Joe, go ahead. Yes. Like a babe. Right. That's a good question. So I would just encourage you to just pray about it. And then here it is. I would say, first of all, pray about it. No, that's a really good question because I struggle with that. I have friends that go to other churches who are my friends. Their pastors don't talk to me. I don't talk to them, but they're my friends. And ironically, we have a friendship. Some of them go to another church. Their pastor doesn't talk to me. It is what it is. What am I trying to say? Look at this verse, brother, and this is good to talk about. Look with me in Romans chapter number 12. I think it's here in Romans 12. If not, it's in Romans 13. Because that's a good question. Here it is. Here's what I would say to you. Romans 12, 18. The Bible says, if it be possible, now listen for there, brother, right here, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. It's up to you. It's up to you. It's not a Holy Ghost yay or nay type. No, it's just how much are you willing to invest? It's up to you. It's okay. You can try your best to go the mile, the extra mile, or second, I'm just going to withdraw because, brother, you're not necessarily hearing me out, but I'm here for you. As soon as you're ready to want to respond to me as a helper and the faith, I'm right. I got you. But until then, all right, I'm right here. I'm a phone call away, but I'm not going to, like, you know, invest more time where there is no obedience to the traditions and what we're learning. So I'm just going to separate, but I care about you. So this is the verse that I go to a lot, guys, when I deal with that, because now it's on me. It's up to me now. How much do I want to live at peace with that, brother? How much do I want to kind of be like, hey, I'm right here, but they don't even come to church, or they left our church, and it's kind of like, how much am I going to invest into them versus those that are you that are right here right now? You understand? So that's a good question. Go ahead, brother. That's good. Yeah, like will. Yeah, so it's your free will, liberty in Christ. We know that Galatians teaches us here in, because this is our Sunday service we're going to, this, in Galatians 5, we know that liberty provides an opportunity for us to serve one another. So look at Galatians 5 once again. The Bible says, brethren, you've been called unto liberty, but only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. So now I can love. I have the ability to do good. Galatians 6, the Bible says in verse number 10, one of my favorite verses, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. So again, look at the principle now. As much as lieth in me, Romans 12, live at peace. If you have an opportunity, you can do good, but it's up to you. How much do you want to go to the extent? So that's up to you. That's between you and the Lord. There's not like a cut and dry, thou shalt wash their shoes if they curse. No, it's, I don't got to wash your shoes, but you just cursed me out. You just chewed me out, you know? So that's what I'm trying to say. There's those liberty areas where there's not like a clear cut. You're just going to pray about it, and then you'll decide as time progresses, you seeing the individual respond, and that's how I can encourage you with that verse. Does that make a little sense? I could say that. That's good. That's fair. Yeah, it's like, hey, you know what? That's good. That's good. Yep. And so it could be different. It's kind of like you may have a lot more grace for a particular individual more than me, even though I have the same Savior. And you know, I tried, you've tried, but you're just willing to go a little bit more because you have a gift of faith. Remember, we talked about that. Hey, go for it. And you're convicted to want to, I just got a heart for this individual and I know they're carnal. I know they're, but I'm still going to keep, and there's nothing wrong. There's nothing that is, There's nothing that forbids you from that. The only thing is in a congregational church gathering sense, we know, obviously, the Bible teaches us in 1 Corinthians about, like, if a brother is fornicating or sinning, like, habitually, right, without repentance, then the Bible says that we, as a church, we got to tell him, you can't come. You got to kick him out. You got to give him over to the enemy for the destruction of flesh. We know, like, when he gets to that point. But if it's just a brother who doesn't even come to church, or obviously, we're just in a hypothetical, if it's just a friend you have out there, then it doesn't necessarily apply because they're not a member here, and they're not obviously causing division. Nobody really knows. You're just a general brother in Christ trying to help a brother out there, and that's totally cool. You know, I try to help out a lot of people like that behind the scenes. Some of you don't know who they are. I try my best to be a friend to them. They don't come here. They might be in another state, and I'm giving them wisdom, and their paths for me are not even, you know, we're not even talking, but it's just because I have love, you know, for that individual. So yeah, that's good. Did that help out? Yeah, so as much as lieth in you, that's the principle of Romans. So coming back there to 2 Thessalonians 3, we'll just quickly talk about this and then we'll come back to the study. We're talking about traditions. And so, yes, it's safe to say traditions are okay if they're biblical. And then just being mindful that each church is going to build up accordingly, and it's fine as long as they're honest. In other words, if they try to force you to something, that you and I can sit down and read the Bible and say, brother, it's not in here, and they're just going to do it because we've been doing it like this forever, then no, they're being more traditional than they are scriptural, and then it's up to you on how far you want to go. Now look at verse number 7. So they know. The Bible says, ye ought to follow us. Ye know how ye ought. Okay. For we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you, neither did we any man's bread for naught. We didn't eat no bread. We didn't eat no one's bread for nothing, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. So what are they telling them? We worked for our own bread. When you guys invited us to dinner after church or after fellowship, we earned that, is what he's trying to tell them. You guys know we're not just lazy Christians not working. We're not just kind of bumming off the church offerings, if you'll know. We taught you in action. We showed you this is how you should follow us. Now look at verse number 9. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us. So now we're telling you, God has given me spiritual authority. That's what Paul's saying. I got spiritual authority. Yes, we can begin to take you to Galatians 6 and Hebrews 13 about submitting to your pastor. And yeah, you should be financially supporting. You should be giving to help your pastor. But he's like, I'm not going to use that. Why? I want you to follow this example, which is what? Work and help each other out. Isn't that unique? Now look at verse 10. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all. So now in context, let's go back now. Look at what he said. He talked about disorderly brothers. He talked about that are not walking after the tradition. And he's saying, withdraw yourselves. Now, in context, what do you think, now, for those of us that are here together, what do you think he's referring to? What is something disorderly? Working not at all. There you have it. So see how the Bible defines it. But are busybodies. They're not working. They're too busy going from house to house, gossiping, you know. What do you call it? Chismosas, you all know all that. They're just kind of like, oh, they go to the party that the other guys invited to. They kind of just tag along and, hey, I'm right here. Let me get some of that food and I'm going to bounce up out here. Now, them that are such, we command. Now, he's talking to those. We command and we're encouraging. We're exhorting you by our Lord Jesus. So he's the authority. He's the head. That with quietness they work and eat their own bread, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. So now, I want you to see that's a tradition. What is a tradition? Pastor, it's okay for you to work to provide for yourself. I know a pastor in Mexico, when I went on my mission trip, he did not want to work. He wanted the Mexicanos with their little pesos to pay for his salary or else he couldn't minister. I talked to my pastor friend in love. I said, Brother Arturo, that's wrong. You know what the Bible teaches. Brother's got to work. But brother, he's old. I said, Brother, who's out there bagging those dang on bags at the Mexicano market? Some old people. You tell that brother to get on over there, get a little jale, so he can bless his church, serve his church, So he doesn't withhold the spiritual gift that he's been equipped with, which is teaching the people that need a preacher there or a pastor weekly. Let me tell you something about how faithful Brother Arturo is. The main church, they give, and they obviously have a lot of members. So yes, even in Mexico, praise the Lord, they can afford a building and they can afford to support their pastor. So he's supported. But do you know how many churches he travels to? He goes to like 5-6 different churches with his car, with the little peso salary that he gets from the main church, and he's still giving above and beyond. That is the biblical model of providing for your pastor to be available for what? The work of service. But if the brother is not wanting to work and he has the capacity to, and a little small church, because they're not paying me, that's a shame. So I didn't talk to the brother in love. I talked to the pastor. Then I preached the message, and then he got a little conviction and came back to the pastor. So I think they worked it out. But I'm just telling you, they're out there. So for those brothers who want to preach tithing, you guys know we don't do that. Again, that's the independent liberty here. If you don't tithe to give to your pastor, you know, this and that, and it's, no, brother. Brother, if that church can't afford it, brother, you need to work. You got to get, I know, evangelism, that's why my wife and I, as you guys know, we balance our evangelism because we got to go to work, and then we balance our liberties and regular life. But what can you honestly say within my wife and I, we are an example. In other words, we're not telling you to do something that we're not doing. So we're soul winning, we're giving, we are laboring. So that way you can see, hey, this is a good tradition to follow. This is a good ordinance. This is something that we ought to, if you will, follow after, and so on and so forth. You had a comment, bro? Comment? Or no? You're good? Oh, sorry. Okay, so now, if any man, now listen, verse number 14. If any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Now, yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. So he's a brother. So there you have Brother Jovan. It's like, man, that guy, you care about him. He's not an enemy. He's saved. Come on. He's just a little silly. He's maybe a little ignorant. Doesn't know a lot of Bible yet. A little carnal. Maybe just, you know, going through some. He's not an enemy, though. So what do you do? What are you doing? You're admonishing him as a brother. Man, you're encouraging him. Hey, brother, come on. You know what that Bible says? Hey, you know you got to work. Hey, brother, you know you got to go to a church. Hey, you know that you're saved now. You got to go to church. You got to have, you know. And so you're just encouraging him to do it. But until he does it or she does it, hey, I'm over here serving my church. I'm plugged in here, but hey, whenever you're ready to make that effort my way to, I can help you to get over here, then that's when I'll respond to you, brother, to give you a hand. But until then, come on, you know. So you have something to say. Admonish is kind of like it's like a very strong form of encouraging. Sometimes you can use it boldly to admonish somebody, is to be like, come on, you should have known better. Really? Or like, hey, it's like, you can use it in a way to not only encourage somebody, but you can also use it, for lack of better terms, to check somebody in love. I can just, in your lingual. Here it is. To admonish is to warn or notify of a fault, to reprove with mildness. So that's why check somebody in love. You see, you're just kind of, hey, brother, come on, man. You know what I asked you? Come on, bro. You didn't follow through. Why not, man? I need you to try better next time. Come on. So I'm admonishing you to do something that I asked you to do in love as a pastor, or let's just say as a brother to brother, you made an agreement. Come on. And I'm just bringing it back to your memory, to counsel against wrong practices, to caution or advise, to instruct or direct, and to reprove. I would just say you're checking somebody with charity. You're just letting them know, hey, come on, you and I both know better. Let's get this back going the right way. We need to do it right. Go ahead. Not getting in the flesh. Yes, that's good. Yes. Yes. Being careful with the way the communication is audibly, just be meek in your communication. But you are reminding him of the truth. That makes sense. Yeah. Come on. We know better. Hey, come on. Come on, brother. Come on, sister. Hey, come on. You know. And so, yeah. So that's good stuff. Yeah. Good. So in other words, I just wanted to open up with, when we're talking about ordinances, traditions, there you have it. They are there. It's okay. Your church is going to have some that are different than the church down the street. They're going to have different ones than we do. So what do we do in love whenever we visit another church? Become all things. Conform to the way they're doing it, so that way you're trying to be a help to them when they come over here. Hopefully they'll likewise show mutual respect. Just like me, when I go to another church, the pastor, he's my pastor in that sense of where I'm under him right now. I'm following his order. How can I help you, brother? And oh, do this. Yeah, I got you, bro. I'll give you a hand over here, you know, so on and so forth. So I just want to let you know it's okay. And so there you have it. Now, Paul made known the ordinances to be observed by the church and explained that the ordinances under the law were nailed to the cross. We talked about that back there in Colossians and Ephesians. He also offered instructions concerning the law and its application. Now, while some may balk at the idea and suggest that our newfound liberty in Christ makes us free from the law, consider what God actually taught in Paul's epistles in Galatians 5. So let's go back there once again, Galatians 5. And this is very good, because what does the Bible teach concerning the relationship between born-again Christians and the law? The Bible says that we fulfill the law in Christ. So now we are able to abide by the law in spirit and truth, because we have the lawgiver in our hearts, and now we're serving above and beyond because of grace. So now Galatians 5:13, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So here's what you can do. When somebody wants to trip you up, oh, don't you keep the commandments? Don't you keep the law? Yeah, I do. I love my neighbor, man. That's what the Bible says. I'm fulfilling it right now. There you go, brother Jehovah's Witness and whoever's out there with their law stuff. Now, simply stated, Christian liberty is not liberty for the flesh to thrive, but liberty from the flesh so that it can be put into submission. As such, Christians still have a responsibility to live right in the eyes of God and the eyes of man. Churches and preachers who teach that Christians should not drink alcohol, smoke cigarettes, chew tobacco, vape, get tattoos, or be polluted by the television or internet are not robbing their congregations of liberties by putting them under bondage. Parents and teachers who warn against inappropriate clothing and suggest boundaries in male and female relationships are not doing away with the Christian's rights in Christ, 6:32. Instead, they are sounding a much-needed alarm, which Christians should hear and need. In other words, if we are trying to establish some guidelines, if you will, some rules, everywhere you go, I'm just going to say this, everywhere we go, there are rules. There are rules when I go into the bank, into the library, Walmart, Winco, when you go to work, there are rules that are governing you and you're willing to submit to them. But the problem is when it's our church or my pastor wanting me to do something, and maybe it's a dress code thing. Maybe, I don't know. For some reason, we get fleshy because it's a spiritual matter, and maybe the enemy's trying to hinder us from being fruitful. But we do it for the money. We do it for the money. They tell us to put on a uniform and we do it. So if your pastor says, hey, brother, when you come behind the pulpit, do you mind just having a tie on? Is that cool? Hey, not a problem, brother. It's not a problem. Worst ties in the Bible. It's not in there. Not in there, okay? King James, guys, there's no ties. Jesus wasn't wearing a tie. Apostles weren't wearing a tie. They weren't wearing Converse. They weren't wearing sweatpants. Amen. They weren't wearing shorts. They were wearing cloaks, right? They were girded with a coat, okay? But when you begin to talk about those type of things being established within your church, guys, it's okay, because you do it for the world. You do it for your parents. You do it for your children. So it's okay to do it for the Lord in a spiritual context. I had a brother a long time ago. He retired now. But I say, brother, do you mind? Can you just put on a tie, brother, please? It's just one of my ordinances. It's just a rule that I'd like to have so we can display something of a consistency within our dress, appearance as men. Oh, yeah, you always give it back to me. Is he sinning? No, he's not. He's not sinning. Is he? Is there causing? No, he's not causing division. But in other words, I just want to let you know, it's okay when those folks have those type of things. They're just going to be really different in other churches. There are friends that I know right now who require their men to only wear white t-shirts. They can only wear white shirts. That's it. So much for Brother Joe with his nice red shirt and, you know, black. And that. No, they just do it. Now, if you ask me why, well, because of his interpretation of one verse in the Bible. Is it ignorant? Yes. Is it required? No. But every church is independent to do their thing, how they do it. And the members are saying, we're in agreement, because why? They keep coming. And anytime they can bounce. So yeah, go ahead, comment, brother. I think it's in Revelation. I think it's about something about they're going to wear white robes and so on. So, and now, brother, I just want to wear white. No, anyway. So, I mean, when you go home, brother puts on a black shirt, working. I don't know if he puts something else on, you know, working around the house. You know, it's white, you know. A lot of Clorox, amen. A lot of bleach for that. But all I can say is guys, it can, traditions can get too haywire. Any church can require things, and they can begin asking their members to do certain things that are not there. But guys, that's why we are Bible believers first, Baptist second by practice. We want to just go off of this. And if it's reasonable, I think it's safe to say, guys, it's reasonable if we say, hey, sisters, you know, we would appreciate when you guys continue to dress modestly, you know, cover your guys' body, cover your chest, make sure that only your husband is viewing you with your body. You know what I'm saying? And then men, you know, dress with integrity, right? To be an example to our youth. And it's that's reasonable. And in other words, that's reasonable. Again, the only way that I can just hold you accountable in love is just, again, you do it for the workplace. Boss says, put on this uniform. Yes, sir. Put on that uniform. Put on this name tag. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Why? Because that's your boss. So it's just spiritual now when your pastor says, and then you're like, why? Because it's the flesh. I don't know why. I'm just telling you. So now, there you have it. Now, when a believer willingly submits to the Spirit of God and follows the truth set forth in New Testament epistles, he can easily understand which parts of the law apply to his life and walk. However, there are many individuals who remain confused about the application of the law to their lives and conclude that Paul defines bondage as being placed in submission to the law. Paul used the concept of bondage in references to being placed in submission to the ordinances under law. The book of Galatians gives us further insight into this truth. So now let's go back to Galatians 2. And again, if you want two books in the Bible to help you to learn what is the relationship between the Christian and the law of Moses to govern the nation of Israel, Romans and Galatians. It'll completely answer your questions. How did God deal with people? Read Romans and Galatians. Was the law ever required for the one salvation or forbearance unto justification for the soul? Go to Galatians, Romans. It answers it pretty clearly. I've already taught you guys, and so it's pretty set. That's why we believe here at this church now. Galatians 2, verse 4, the Bible says, now when these false brethren came in, it says here that because of false brethren, unawares brethren, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. So what the authors are just trying to tell you here is that when Paul is using this concept of bondage, he's referring to the ordinances under law. The false brethren mentioned in the preceding verse were attempting to bring believers into submission to their ordinances under the law. For example, holy days, you know, Sabbath, circumcision, so on and so forth. Obviously, observing days places a person under the bondage of the law. So now let's go back to Galatians 4, another area here. It's pretty good to understand again. So you guys are familiar, but this is good rehearsal. So when you do talk to somebody who wants to say, well, you have to do this or you have to do that, you can tell them, you can take them to these passages now and show them. Galatians 4. But now, after that you have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? So now, for a Jew, what are weak and beggarly elements? The ordinances of the law, Sabbath keeping, sacrificial offerings, certain clothing, diets, and then Gentiles, Felipe, we were commenting about that last Friday, that could be things we used to do from our past, celebrations, the Mexican culture, because predominantly a lot of us are Latino. You know, what did we used to do from our past celebrations or past parties? Why would we want to go back to beggarly elements, which God says are just going to bring us into bondage? They're not going to produce any spiritual victory over sin in the heart and helping you to be a better godly wife. You know, so that's good. You had a comment, brother? Yep. Yeah, dude, that's good too, brother. Talking about astrology and the zodiacs and all that. Yes, that's good. Absolutely. Man, check this out. We're living in the barrio, man, growing up there, and we're trying to be all hardcore, Brother Felipe, and all this Chicano blah, 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 as to calendar and dream catchers. And we're over here looking at our horoscope, talking about I'm a Libra, man. What are we doing with this philosophy from Greece? You're trying to be a gangster, dude, over here. You know, I don't understand, but everybody was doing it, right? Oh, I'm a Libra. I'm a, what are the other ones? A rhino? Scorpio. Or what is the other one? Aquarius. Oh, that's why I'm like that. That's why I got an attitude, because Libras are always, you know all that stuff. Yes. It's weak. It's beggarly. Now, I know Christians that still entertain themselves with those things. Again, ignorance. They are ignorant. They may not know any better. Obviously, number one, if they're not going to a Bible-believing church, notice I'm not saying Baptist. I'm just saying a church that preaches the Bible to teach it like that. And number two, if they're not surrounding themselves with Christians that are Bible believers as well to kind of encourage, like we read earlier, admonishing, hey, come on, we don't do that, then they're going to think it's okay. Now, they may not be doing it purposefully. Like, in other words, they're just ignorant. They just don't know no better. And then others that do, and then obviously want to do it anyways, they're just being carnal. All I can say is this, guys. You know your liberties. You guys know what you do in the privacy of your home. Again, if you're not going to cause others to stumble, and if you're not going to cause a division within your church, hey, you do you, boo, in your home, amen. You know who I'm talking about. If you want to go out there and catch your little Pokemon, amen, in the privacy of your home, y'all be doing that. Hop up and down the couch, all right, and just be all silly. Just don't come to church and start causing division by saying, Pastor Carlos, everyone needs to Pokemon catch. No, we ain't going to be doing that here, amen. We're not going to be doing no Easter egg hunts. Because why? We want to focus on Jesus in the Bible. But when you go back home and you got your children and you got you and no one else, me, myself, and I, man, you're going to do what you want. So again, all I can ask you, brother and sister, is wherever you're at in your walk with the Lord, just know you have weak and beggarly elements. They're not going to help you. Is it going to condemn you? No, but it's not going to help you. The one that can help you is Jesus, and the Bible is what's going to help you to increase your knowledge. I just want to encourage you, again, admonish, encourage you in love, because I used to do that. I used to be like that. Before I knew what the Bible taught about alcohol, we used to drink because at our former churches ago, that's what they taught. It was okay. And then as soon as the Bible taught us that, hey, that's how it was. As soon as I listened to a Bible-believing preacher, one message, you can ask my wife, change your life. We dumped everything down the drain. Never touched it again. Why? Because I actually finally believed the Bible as it was taught to me, and then it had an effect. Okay? So I'm just telling you, other things like that can begin to show you. God will begin to show you, look here, daughter. Look here, son. Look at what my Bible says about this and dress and money, and you need to work, and you need to be faithful to your church. You need to give, and you need to sow. It'll begin to show you, and then you're just going to have to say, okay, God, you know what? You're right. Man, thank you so much for your goodness. So on and so forth. So we're almost done. A couple more minutes. If we're still not clear, God knows that our flesh would rather reject the truth. Therefore, God indulges us with another example, but only to make our ungodliness more evident and to prove how much we really long to reject the truth. Now, our rejection usually stems from the fact that we believe our idea is superior to the truths that God sets forth. Changed minds are a sign of spirituality. Attempting to change the scriptures is inspired by the flesh and the devil. I was commending a good friend of ours tonight about how much the Lord has brought him forth in his life and how much God has been working on his heart, his family's heart. The Lord has been showing him favor in his workplace. And I'm very proud of Brother Felipe. Why? Because what is a sign of his spiritual growth? Changing of the mind. Humility. Something that is beginning to literally change. We're not saying perfect, we're saying progress. So if I can encourage all of us here tonight, you might not be perfect, but you're progressing. So kind of encourage yourself with that. Man, 2 years ago, I wasn't here, man. I wasn't at church. I wasn't reading my Bible. Man, I'm reading my Bible now. I'm at church. I'm making an effort. So I want to remind you to encourage yourself in Christ. You're not perfect yet, but you're progressing. And that's what we all need to be doing, is we just need to be progressing, amen, in a certain area. Now look with me back here in Galatians 5. What are the authors trying to tell us? Man, we still got a flesh, and we're all going to struggle with it. Look at Galatians 5. The Bible says here that, stand fast, therefore, in liberty, wherewith Christ hath made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So the law of Moses already taught you in death. It is a yoke of bondage. Behold, I say unto you that if you be circumcised, again, that's an ordinance, Christ shall profit you nothing. It ain't going to make you more spiritual with God. What happened? You just lost some meat, brother. That's it. That's it. That's pretty much it. You lost what? 0.001 pounds. That's it. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. So the scripture is clear. The bondage warned against in the above passage involve circumcision and those seeking justification through circumcision. Paul admonished these individuals, whoever they are in the churches, to stand fast in their liberty. That is, they need to remain firm in their conviction. I like how the author is saying that, how we were talking about that earlier. And obviously, circumcision was one of the ordinances of the law. These men were directing others to be circumcised to be justified. However, Paul explains that keeping the Old Testament ordinance of circumcision made a person a debtor to do the whole law. So again, if a brother or sister is going to say, I'm a Hebrew now, I'm going to start honoring the Sabbath, you are required and demanded by the law to do every ordinance. It is impossible. Guys, that's why Christ died for our sins. Not one Jew was able to keep the whole law in its entirety from birth to death. That's why Christ was required to die to become a man so we can save the Jew, save the Gentile, because not one human in history was able to do every requirement of God's laws. Almost done. The topic most closely related to bondage is liberty. After all, bondage involves being overcome by someone or something. Let's talk about that. 2 Peter 2. None of us might not be necessarily slaves to a foreign nation in the United States. Praise God. Some of you guys might be enslaved to a credit card or to a bank or the person you owe money to, amen. But none of us are in bondage, right, by like some foreign adversary that says, you need to do this for me, right, because you work for me. No. But here's what the Bible does say about bondage. I think it's very interesting that we should read it together. Look with me now, friend, in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 19. May I have a volunteer to read verse number 19, por favor? So look at that. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. So in context, again, Jews wanting to bring Jewish Christians back under the ordinance. We know that. Paul's warning against it. Peter's warning against it. We know that. Peter warning here, people going back to living after certain ways, right? After the flesh. They go back to the drinking, the partying, the smoking. They go back to a carnal life. Look at verse 18. You know, living through the lust of the flesh, all that. They're trying to get you back. They're trying to promise you you'll be happier. They're trying to tell you that you'll be really happier if you didn't really go to church. You don't really need to dress like that. You don't really need to listen to that music. You don't really need to avoid listening to this music or cussing once in a while or drinking. You don't really need, look, we're happy. But what don't they realize? They're in bondage. God says they're in bondage. And that's why he reminds you when you keep coming to church, remember he died for that. So you don't have to continue what? In bondage. So I want you to remember now, being in bondage is not necessarily physically being the slave of another. Being in bondage could be being enslaved to a lust, being enslaved to acceptance of a person. Maybe people are in bondage to their pride. Maybe they're in bondage to something. I'm just trying to give you guys some application. Don't think of just being bondage like, yeah, I'm not keeping circumcision, but I'm in bondage to this thing over here. And so we need the Lord to keep helping us to stay in liberty. Now, almost done. Last paragraph. While liberty is the freedom from the flesh and any other hindrance to living a godly life, one pleasing to the Savior, biblical liberty is not a license to sin. While our flesh wishes that liberty was complete freedom from any kind of rules or standards for living, the Bible does not define liberty in this manner. The flesh hates any application of restraint placed upon it, especially by something as restrictive as God's word. Yet liberty is not an exclusion from rule or law. So let's read this last paragraph and then we'll close it up. 1 Corinthians 10, I like what the authors are saying. They're just reminding us that when you hear those Christians go around from church to church, I'm not under the law, I don't need to do nothing, I'm grace, grace, grace. What they're preaching and teaching is something ignorant, because we are under laws, we're under rules, we're under these precepts from New Testament commands and traditions. So yes, we're not under the law of ordinances of Moses for justification, But we're under the law of Christ. We're underneath this New Testament rules and things that God has given us commands to abide by as Christians. Now look at verse 28. But if a man say unto you, well, let's go back here quickly to verse number 23. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. So you're right, brother. You're right, sister. You can watch that thing when you go back home tonight. You can watch that movie. You guys can eat that food again. Y'all can do whatever you want. But I just want you to see what God says. Not everything edifies. Go ahead, brother. Let's go ahead and look it up. Amen. Expedient. Until you get that Bible software, man, I got you, brother. Look right here. Expedient. Here's the definition. Literally, hastening, urging forward, hence tending to promote the object proposed, fit or suitable for the purpose, proper under the circumstances. So something that is not expedient isn't, it's not really relevant to the immediate, you know, circumstance. It's something that's not, as it says here, fit or suitable for the purpose. For example, many things may be lawful which are not expedient. So even though it's lawful to do, it's not suitable to fulfill. It's something that's not proper yet to abide by or to complete. Marijuana is legal to now consume and to smoke, if you will. They passed it a couple of years ago. It's not expedient. It's not profitable. So right here, number two, useful, profitable. Number three, quick, expeditious. So that which serves to promote or expedient and so on and so forth. So yeah, in other words, it is just, it's another word by saying it's not useful, it's not profitable. So when we come back here now and read it with another term to help us understand that, thank you for asking that. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not profitable. They're not useful. They're not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. So you're right. You're over 21 now. You can legally drink alcohol, but it's not profitable for you. You can smoke marijuana. It's not profitable for you. You can do whatever you want, but is it going to be proper for you, and is it going to edify you? Now, verse 24, let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Now, that's a great verse. I don't have time to talk about that. Again, charity, how can I help you, brother, sister? I know that I can do that, but you might not even know that yet. You might be here in your knowledge. So with what you think is not okay to do, I'm willing to seek what's best for you in your conscience. I can eat meat, I can eat beef, I can eat pork, I can eat fish, but you might not know that yet. So what are you're still eating veggies only. You know what? I'm going to eat veggies with you. Why? Because I'm looking for your wealth. Now look at verse 25. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that eat, asking no question for conscience sake. It's all right if you want to go to Walmart, brother. It's all right if you want to go to Winco. It's all right if you want to go to Fraser Farms, you want to go to local market. Look at the earth is the Lord's, y'all. It's all good. The fullness thereof. If any of them that believe not, now we're almost done. If any of them that believe not, so would you guys agree? He's referring to a non-Christian. Okay. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, Felipe, come to my party here at the house. Giovanni, work party. Hey, we're going to have some. Hey, Giovanni, we want you to invite. Man, bring your wife. And ye be disposed to go. Now look at what he says. Ye be disposed to go. What does that mean? You're willing. Whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience sake. So there you have it. So brother, if your coworker invites you, the tios, your brothers, if they want you to go to the house. Now look it, you don't have to go. If you're willing to go, what is the Lord just telling you? When they give you that food, it's all good. You already know whose earth that is. Get that little chicken mole, amen. They have that little Buddha statue at the Chinese market, but I like that chow mein. All right, I don't give a dang about that little Buddha statue. I know that it's all the Lord's. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, whoever finds the little plastic bebe and the what is it called? The rosca? And that's some good bread, though, y'all. But if they say, we're doing this for the virgin, I'm sorry, that's some good pozole, but I am not going to pay you $5 for that. I'll get the tamale next door because this is not offered to the Virgin. You understand? This is offered in sacrifice unto idols. Eat not for his sake that should it, and for conscience sake. So this is for you too. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? And verse number 30, for if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that for which I give thanks? So whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. And then one more for application, give none offense, and neither to the Jews, Gentiles, or Church of God as a Christian. So now, just think about that before we close. We have liberty. We know we are not underneath the laws of Moses for ordinances to be justified with the Father or to perfect our spiritual walk with God. We know that. But we do have rules. We do have traditions. We do have commands. Even as Christians, we are not necessarily free from laws. We're free from those over there, but not from these over here. So now, in a one nutshell, going home tonight, if you can think about anything, so then is this okay? Will this offend my brother or sister in Christ? I shouldn't do that with them. I shouldn't do that in their presence. What about my brother or my sister that we're trying to win to Christ? They might not know that. This might offend them. So then don't do it. Don't do it. Wait until you get home. Yeah, man, do it all, you know, privacy, whatever that means, amen. But that's a way that you can guide now your decision-making by just asking yourself, if I do this, if the manner of which I want to do this, if it's going to do that or cause that, then you know what? I'm good. I'm good. So in the above passage, Paul explained that a man should not exercise his God-given liberty to eat all he received with thanksgiving, if eating would destroy a brother's weak conscience. Why? Because exercising one's right to break another of God's precepts to love one another. That's good. Loving one another was more important than exercising liberty to eat whatsoever he desired. In other words, I have the right to do it. I can do it. I can drink. I can do this. I can do that. But wait a second. If that offends you, what am I omitting? Love. And I'm messing up. So Paul did not simply explain how we are to live. He lived the example for us to follow. That's good. Let me repeat that one more time. Paul did not simply explain how we are to live. He lived the example for us to follow. His example, let's go back now again. If I can get one more to read this, and we'll close in prayer. Go back with me now to verse number 24. Can I get somebody to read that, and we'll close in prayer? That was his example. So I think it's safe to say now before we close, when Paul said, you saw how we behaved. You saw how we taught you, how we walked. What did the members see in Paul? Man, he really cares about that Christian. He knows he can do that, but look, they don't know better. So he's going to help them with what they got. So tonight, if we can all have that same heart for one another when we go to the privacy of our homes, maybe Giovanni's household does things differently than the Navarros. The Navarros do differently than the Amanzas. But you know what? When we come together at church in Christ, we're all on the same page. But when we do go back home in the privacy of our space, it's okay to just respectfully submit to the way that they do things because we know they're not causing division. It's all right if they want to eat that pork over here and that red meat over here and brother over here with veggies or fruit or whatever the case might be. And it's all right if y'all don't watch that over here and you guys watch that over here. Why? Because that's privacy. But if it offends, then the brother who has the right and liberty at your home, when they come over, hey, just put it away. It's just 1 hour fellowship. Amen. You go right back to watching that movie as soon as they bounce. Amen. Y'all do your thing. I'm just telling you, it's okay to humble it for the honoring of the other. That's all we're saying. So anyone, last minute comments, questions? Tonight was a very good night for that. Anyone, questions, comments about time? Thank you. Anyone, closing questions, closing comments? Anybody? No questions, no comments. Okay, as we close, please don't forget tomorrow, soul winning here today. We will meet here at 10 o'clock tomorrow. As I asked you last Wednesday, church in love, please just text my wife or I if you're unable to attend. We're just beginning to now provoke you guys in love, amen. Just let us know, brother. Just like you tell to the boss man at work when you're not going because you feel sick, just let pastor know, brother, or Katie, hey, brother, I won't be able to go. I know some of you work, but just say, hey, we won't be showing up. That way we're not waiting. But if you can go, if you're not working and you're able, please, guys, let's continue to soul win together as a church family. Let's continue to win souls the best we can. Let's continue to provoke one another, amen, unto love and good works. And we'll just let the Lord do the rest. And then anything else for housekeeping, cleaning, or anything else. I think that's pretty much it. So just, yeah, praise the Lord. I'm looking forward to tomorrow. So we'll see how it goes. All right, let's go ahead and close the prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for allowing us to gather once again in the name of Jesus. It sure is a blessing, God, to see my brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, would you please bless them? Lord, I'm just so thankful for what you're doing in the lives of our members, Lord. They're consistent, they're growing, they're learning, they're hungry. Lord, they truly do want to make a difference in their life, it seems to me. Lord, I can see that the marriages truly do want to get better, and They want to keep serving better in their workplace. They truly want to be a help, even to some of the brother, sister wanderers out there, God. That's just a blessing to see the members of this church having a heart for people out there, God. They want to help restore, Lord. So would you please continue to add to their faith, God, that knowledge, that virtue, that zeal, so they can continue to walk in that liberty, so that way they can continue to operate by love, because of faith. They can serve others, God. And so tonight at this church, help us to keep that unity. Help us to keep that love one for another. Help us to keep our hearts knitted together, God, so we don't let the enemy come in here to destroy us with anything non-biblical. And then, Lord, whenever a brother or sister is struggling, the knowledge that we're gaining individually, we can use it, as we learn tonight, to seek their wealth, to help them, God, with where they're at, Lord. And Lord, we thank you. We pray for new visitors to come, hopefully, from tomorrow's outreach. We pray for those who visited this week. I pray that you watch over their spirits, God. Please touch them to come back. Hopefully, we'll see them this Sunday. And I thank you for everything else you're doing. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, church, we love you. Please have a blessed rest of your evening. Amen.